Hello, welcome to Time in the Studio. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, and this is the 33rd episode. I am really excited. This is a conversation that I had with my friend, Megan Furman Wheeler, and she has a really cool apothecary that she opened up in Spirit Lake, Iowa. A couple things I just want to touch on. I just got back from my little amble in the woods for the morning and made myself some nettle juice. I was inspired by the Herb Oracle, and I got to listen to her podcast on my walk today. Excuse me, it was all about love, 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 was the name of the episode. And it was so good. It was so beautiful. So just, yeah, shout out to her and the work she's doing. And yeah, it was just a really powerful episode and good for me to hear about. And it's funny, I just traded Reiki with a friend and I was like, I just want to crack my heart open. Like, let's just crack it open. Like, I'm sick of it being so like shut. And they were like, do you want some like ease and grace with that? Cause that sounds kind of intense. That just made me giggle. And then let's see what else. Oh, I've been working with a flower essence I just made yesterday. A little larch, cayenne, jojoba, chaparral, and golden yarrow. So that's a fun little combo. I love flower essences, as you may know. Another little thing that's happening. I just taught a kids class and it was so funny to me because so it was a day they couldn't make and keep anything that they were making. So I was like, let's just make a collaborative castle and then smash it. And if I was to go back and do the project again, I would just tell them we're making a collaborative castle and not tell them that we're going to smash it beforehand. But it was just really interesting because all of the girls in the class spent so much time making these like really beautiful little intricate things. Like we made a garden for the castle and a moat and watering can that was like really big so it could water the whole garden and, you know, all these towers and marmots and squirrels and snails and mushrooms. Like they were just filling the whole castle with all these things. And the little boys just like they were just sitting there like they didn't want to make anything for the castle. And I was like, what? You guys, like, you gotta make something for the castle. And so they're like, fine, I'll make a ghost. Fine, I'll make a pigeon. But like they didn't, or a penguin. Like they make like little birds or boats or ghosts, but they didn't want to really make anything for the castle. And it was really interesting. And then at the end, I was like, okay, now it's time to destroy it. And they loved destroying it, but they did not want to build anything for the castle. And then all of the girls who had spent all this time building this castle were, a couple of them were like a little bit, well, distraught. They were like really sad that we were smashing it. Even though I had said, like, today's an exercise in impermanence. Like, we're just gonna make things and then smash them. And so, oh, yeah, it was just really interesting. I thought it was funny. And I told somebody the story and they were like, yeah, that's kind of like life. I was like, yeah, it's true. So interesting. That's really all I have. Without further ado, let's just get into the episode. So yeah, this is my conversation with Megan Furman Wheeler. This is from about 9 months ago. So I am trying to get caught up. I have some old episodes still, and then I'm going to start doing new ones again. But please be sure to check out her website. She's at www.meganandco.com. You can also check her out on Instagram. That is at Megan, M-E-G-A-N, .co.apothecary. And she makes really beautiful whipped body butters and tinctures and teas and so many good, beautiful things. And she's providing a resource to this community in Iowa that is rather underserved in terms of herbalism. So it was just really inspiring to hear her talk about her experience of building her own company, envisioning it, and how she's let it develop over the years. She just had her 2-year anniversary. And she also talks about her journey with epilepsy and how epilepsy led her to herbalism. That's how I got familiar with her work. And she talks about pain, connecting with people's pain and helping to relieve pain with plants, and how that is a really great way to develop a connection and a trust with people so that they want to try more of her tea blends and connect with her more. So I thought that was interesting in the way that pain can sometimes bring us together. Oh my gosh. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. And here we go. Cha, cha, cha.
I am so honored and excited to have on the show today, Megan Furman Wheeler. She is a phenomenal herbalist who I got to meet when I was going to school at the Colorado School of Clinical Herbalism. And she gave this presentation on epilepsy that had the whole room sobbing and just brought to tears. And she is just an incredible presenter and has gone through so much in her life. She's also started her own business, a brick and mortar shop in Spirit Lake, Iowa. And Megan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm really honored to be here. I appreciate the offer and very happy to share my story.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'd love to just hop in and hear about your story. Like, how did you get into herbalism and plant medicine? What brought you to this path?
Well, you had mentioned that I have epilepsy, and that is actually what was my introduction into herbalism. I was diagnosed with epilepsy at age 10, and wow. My introduction to herbalism came when I was about 25. Mm-hmm. But the time in between that was mainly within the traditional medical field. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was 25, my seizures were very much uncontrolled. And I had begun each pharmaceutical that has been known to help with epilepsy and increased the dose until it was ineffective before moving on to the next pharmaceutical. And at the time I was 25, I had gone through all of the pharmaceuticals that are currently on the market. And so I was out of options.
Wow.
At that time, my soon-to-be husband and I took a trip to Denver to visit his uncle. And we were walking around the downtown. And just so happened that we entered one of the apothecaries in downtown. Mm-hmm. I went up to the counter because I didn't really have much time, and I asked the woman at the counter if she recommended anything for epilepsy. She sent me home with a bag full of Skullcap, which is also known as Scutellaria latifolia. So this is a plant that actually grows in the Rocky Mountains. Mm-hmm. So I took it home, and I found it to be so extremely effective. That was my first time I had ever utilized an herb, and my total introduction to herb. So it was kind of a mind blown type of experience.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds really amazing. And I could see how it would bring so much hope after going through the rigmarole of trying every single medication out there and like having to increase your dosage and just being out of options. I imagine that must have been such a scary and perplexing time. So to find any kind of other alternate solution must have been just a blessing.
And personally, I grew up in the 90s, and I grew up in a small town in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And so being 25 and starting to do traveling, that was really when I first encountered alternative medicine. So I wasn't in a family that utilized it growing up. So it was, for me, all around the first time I had seen this other form of medicine, as well as the first time I utilized an herb. So very exciting to me. because growing up, I always felt like I wanted to become a doctor. I had spent so much time in a hospital that I had this very intuitive urge to heal. So when I started my college education after high school, I was actually a pre-med. And I began that program, and it became clear to me very soon that that was not the program that I wanted to be in. And at that time, I had no idea what I wanted to do, because all of my life, I felt like I wanted to become a doctor. But at that, growing up, I had no words for what an herbalist was. I actually graduated my undergrad with an art degree. That's quite the conversation. Switching from pre-med to art.
That's so cool. I didn't realize that. What did you focus on, anything particular or any favorite mediums?
I focused on painting.
As
well as art.
Nice. Oh, that's amazing. That's such a cool connection.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was such at a loss at that time in my life that I had always felt a connection with art. I utilized it as therapy dealing with my epilepsy. And so it seemed like an intuitive turn. I didn't know where to go. That's what I went towards.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like making art can be so healing, just to be able to pour your energy into something. And I don't know, it like releases trauma from the body, and it's really powerful.
It's definitely another form of healing.
Yeah, so cool to think of that overlap.
Yeah. So fast forward to when I was 25, and I started utilizing Skullcap. At that time in my life, I have a form. There's many types of different seizures, and I have a couple different types of seizures. The most potent are the grand mal seizures. So this is what people most traditionally think about when they think about epilepsy or seizures. It's someone falling unconscious on the floor and shaking. So I have those types of seizures, and that time in my life, there were weeks when I was having three or more of those.
Oh my gosh. That is so scary. And I imagine exhausting. I mean, from what I've heard, having a seizure is just like physically, I think someone talked about, it's like running a marathon.
Yeah. It's emotionally and physically draining. So the fact that I found anything at that time, like you said, was just this glimmer of hope that I really latched on to. So I started utilizing Skullcap initially in tea form as infusions. But then I moved more towards tinctures, because my husband, my boyfriend at that time, found that if I was having a seizure, he could utilize the Skullcap tincture topically, and it would almost stop my seizure.
So wait, he would apply the tincture just to your skin while you were having a seizure, and you would
try to get it onto the back of my neck, actually.
Wow. That is amazing. I didn't realize that it could be that powerful.
It was definitely for me. I haven't communicated enough with other people dealing with epilepsy as to whether it would be as effective for them.
But that's an amazing option just to consider. I mean, when you're in that space, that's amazing.
So after I had come across Skullcap, my tentacles were kind of out, and I just wanted more and more. And that's when I came across the Colorado School of Clinical Herbalism. in Boulder. And I believe I came across the California School of Herbalism as well. Mm-hmm. I remember giving each school a call and just asking their directors or the people in the office to talk about the schools with me. And I remember after my conversation from the CSDH, how scientific their classes were, mm-hmm. and how in depth with research their classes were, and how they followed the anatomy as well as the herbs. Yeah. So that's, I was really drawn to that, rather than more of, I was drawn to that more so than other forms that herbalism is used for. Mm-hmm. Like the concrete groundedness that the school trained us in, mm-hmm. And the use of herbs with research.
Yeah.
So that's when I attended the school. And frankly, I signed up. And the first day of class, I didn't know the difference between what a homeopathic doctor was, what an herbalist was, what a naturopathic was. So I did. It was a very groundbreaking experience for me.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I feel similar. I was like, what is a plant? How do you grow it? And then I just, a whole world opened up to me that I had no idea about.
Looking back, I questioned, like, how did I even get there? You know, mm-hmm. What was it in me that made that feeling within me so strong that I knew that I needed more education and that I knew that I wanted to go to a school like this, even without knowing what exactly it was I was getting into.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes there's a magnet in our soul that just like pulls us to something. Cause again, I can totally relate to that too. Like I was living in New York and I found out about the school and I called Lisa. And I talked to her for, I don't know, they all spent so much time talking to me on the phone. I'm like, I don't know, should I live there? What is it like? And they were just so patient with me. And I just was like, I have to go here. Like, and my parents were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I don't care. I have to make this happen. Like, no matter what, this is where I belong. Mm-hmm. And I have to follow this path. Like, it is undeniably, like, my soul will not let this go. Like, I have to do this right now. They were just like, okay, it makes no sense. But it's, you know, sometimes you just have to follow that calling. And, yeah, it's like that school has, like, a magnet to some souls, I think.
Absolutely. I can relate it to that time, that moment in time where I felt like all of my searching had come to a point.
Wow. Yeah.
Path, from dealing with an illness all of my life and searching for answers and finally coming to a place where I could find it and then instill within me the tools to find out other answers.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, and the experience in itself was, of course, you know, more than words can put.
Yeah, so I just want to kind of clarify for some people who haven't, don't know about the school or haven't been to the school. It's kind of like a 2.5-year program where you study fundamentals for, I think, 9 months and then advanced herbalism where you study, I think that's like 6 months, I can't remember. And then clinic is like a year or 9 months. Yeah. And it is full on. It is so much work. It is a baffling amount of work. And it's also just like so transformative. Yeah. Do you want to talk about a little bit about what that was like going through that experience, having epilepsy, and how things evolved for you over those years.
Sure, because I entered the program being unsteady with my epilepsy. Like, I knew I had this tool of Skullcap, but I was not in a healing state whatsoever. Right. So I was very depleted at that time, and adding on all of this additional work, of course, depletes you more, but it fills your spirit. So you just, like, your spirit just keeps going on and on. Mm-hmm. And so finding that balance and trying to heal yourself in the midst of learning was such an incredible experience. And it teaches you balance throughout your working career as mm-hmm. well. Mm. As the workload continues, you realize that, yes, you are enjoying your work and your spirit is thriving, but you're also working so much that it's depleting you. So instilling that self-care and that lifelong healing within the healer was really important to me.
Yeah, I found that especially in advanced, they built into the program so much self-care. Like, you had to kind of, you know, experiment with different diet possibilities or lifestyle practices, vitalist practices, you know, trying to drink water every day or taking a multivitamin or magnesium. And I feel like, or just praying or meditating, like, I feel like building those practices into part of the research was so brilliant and helpful, because otherwise it's really easy to forget about that. Like, I know in clinic, a lot of people were like, self-care went out the window. And so I think it was good to reflect back and be like, okay, just meditate a couple minutes every day, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I like how they built the self-care into that practice.
And that was huge. The other huge aspect for me is I felt like going into the program, I've spoken about Skullcap already, so I already had this ally with mm-hmm. the group that I continued to utilize, but the nutritional aspect was so incredibly helpful. Because I find that nutrition for me with epilepsy is the root cause for my seizures. So being able to identify what causes my seizures has been life-changing, and I've done that all through nutrition.
What did you note? I would love to know more about, what are some of those triggers or solutions to not have seizures?
Well, you know, at CSCH, we talk a lot about the ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. And I was actually introduced to the ketogenic diet at the age of 10, when I initially started having seizures. Mm-hmm. But most of my life, I was not on that diet. Mm-hmm. So, and the neurologists that you work with didn't really promote it at that time. They just kind of left it as an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know enough about the nutritional aspects about it to give it enough consideration, nor did my parents. Mm. So we were definitely introduced to the ketogenic diet. But before I began that diet in total, I went through many eliminations. Mm. And it was the process of slowly taking something out and adding it back in and experiencing seizures after I added it back in. Mm-hmm. So identifying those triggers for me. Mm-hmm. I think initially through a gluten elimination, followed by a dairy elimination. Those were the two main things. But other triggers include, like, MSG is found in Chinese food, caffeine.
Oh, wow.
And sugar in general. Mm-hmm. So when you take out sugar and you take out carbs, you're essentially on the ketogenic diet.
Right.
So that has been the nutritional protocol that I've been following.
That is amazing. Yeah, I feel like gluten and dairy, man, they are the root cause of a lot of issues for a lot of people.
They are, yep. And trying to take that knowledge and working with the public and instill that knowledge in a 5-minute meeting is extremely difficult to achieve.
I imagine, especially in Iowa.
Yes.
In Boulder, it doesn't always go over well. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, I get it. You know, I've been there. I was a baker for many years. I love bread. I grew up on a wheat farm, like, in my heart, like, I want to just eat bread all the time. And then I realized, I was like, oh, this is like a poison, a micro poison for my body. Like, I can't do it. And I feel a million times better if I don't eat that way. But it's, you know, it releases these little endorphins in our brain. It's like, oh, this is exciting. And so, you know, it's, we want to eat those things, even though they're not always good for us and can be really inflammatory.
The time it takes to train your body to not have that mental reaction is what really is tricky with people, I think, because that craving is still there for so many months.
Yeah.
You take a food out.
Yeah. I find the first 2 weeks are the hardest, but yeah, maybe it still lingers after that. But yeah, I find the first 2 weeks are like excruciating.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my experience at the school. Really loved the whole program, as well as just to become educated in finding out what a herbalist is and realize that this was what I was looking for all along. Mm-hmm. I think I was in the middle of advanced when I was sitting in class and I had this flashback of when I was about 14 and my mom and I were driving down the road and I was looking at this building that had a for sale sign in it. Mm. And I turned to my mom and I said, when I get older, I would like to own my own business.
Oh, wow. I have chills all over.
My mom turned and looked over as she was driving and she said, well, Megan, how are you going to do that if you're a doctor? So I had that flashback while I was sitting in class and instantly I was like, I want to open my own apothecary.
Wow. Cool.
Yes, talk about connections and living your path. Yep. Yep. Fell into full completion for me.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So I want to hear more about what it was like being in clinic and how did you know what you wanted your business to look like and where it would be?
Well, after living in Boulder, it was maybe 3 months in. My husband and I really loved it. We really loved it. But then we had a death in the family. We were in fundamentals that year. So we had a death in the family, and both of us were grieving in different ways. And we both were raised in Iowa. And in Iowa, there's just empty space. You're connected with the earth everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what we found when we were living in Boulder is we needed that space, that emptiness, to just let our grief expand in our bodies.
Wow.
And even if we went hiking in the mountains, we always ran into another person. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like our grief was just going out and coming back at us. Mm. So we spoke about this. For some reason, the conversation came up and we talked about how we were both experiencing this, how we just needed the empty space. And it was about that time that I started having dreams about corn.
Whoa.
I knew that our home base was where we needed to go. So we returned back to the town that my husband was raised in, which is Spirit Lake, Iowa. Mm-hmm. I was raised just a few miles away, actually, about 20 miles. So it's both kind of our central location. Mm-hmm. All of our families are here. And when I knew I wanted to come home, I just had this inherent feeling that the community would accept it. Mm-hmm. So as I said, I first had the impression of starting an apothecary during the second year of school, during the advanced class. And from that time, I just started futurizing, making a business plan, setting things up. So by the time I had graduated clinicals, I had everything set up and was just looking for a building at that point. So I packed up my things in Boulder and we moved back home, and my folks were kind of scouting out buildings for me while I was in school. So we had a couple appointments and eventually found the building that we were at. And the town itself 2 years ago has had a lot of buildings up for sale. Mm-hmm. And bought the building and pretty much gutted it and made it what we wanted.
Wow. It looks beautiful from what I've seen in photos. It looks like a stunning shop.
We really cherish it. And during that time, I'm happy that I decided I wanted to start an apothecary when I did, because I really had like that 2 year period of just sending all my energy into what I wanted it to look like and how I wanted it to feel. So when it was time, I really had everything focused. So I knew what that image was going to be.
That's amazing to have that much clarity and just to be able to visualize that and focus on that for all of that time and just kind of like dreaming. And I love too that you had this vision of corn. It's so interesting. Corn is one of those flower essences that I'm like always drawn to, because I feel like it has this very celebratory energy and also like integrating deep spiritual experiences. And it's also, I think it's also indicated for when people are feeling like too crowded in a city
setting.
And it gives you that like spaciousness to like ground and it like absorb the messages that you need to absorb and release the grief or whatever you need to release. So it's interesting that you were having that experience with like grieving your relative and needing that space and then dreaming of corn and then moving to Iowa. Like, I just love all of these connections that you have. That's so cool.
I'm glad you mentioned that flower essence, because I was taking a lot of that while living.
Oh, interesting. That's so cool.
Very drawn to it.
Yeah. Amazing. Do you have suggestions for people who are wanting to start their own business and start visualizing these things? Like, were there any strategies or tips or things that you did to like really help get clarity about that? Like any writing exercises or?
Well, you know, looking back when building my business, I sorted through all of the, what I considered at the time, small jobs that I had. Mm-hmm. From working as a barista to a waitress to working production, all of these things. And then eventually I worked at Rebecca's Apothecary in Boulder. But all of these positions, I gathered some sort of tool from. And so growing the business, I began to utilize all of these past experiences as a toolbox. And so it really made me appreciate, you know, that time that I'd spent working, brewing coffee, how at that time I thought, oh, this is just a paycheck. I'm just here as a part-time job while I'm going to school. But the tools were there. You're still learning something, even if it is cleaning a toilet.
Right.
So that was really interesting to look back and see everything that was gathered along the way. As far as futurizing, I have tons and tons of notebooks, mm-hmm. sketches of what I saw in my head, which is great to look back to now to see how much the dream has become a reality. My sketches look just like the shop.
Uh-huh.
So that's very, very encouraging.
That's so cool. I love hearing that because, yeah, I feel like it's just really inspiring as I'm like building my own business. And I don't want to do a brick and mortar. I just don't have the, that just doesn't feel like my calling, but I get, you know, I'm trying to like get clarity about what I really want it to look like. And so I love that idea of just like, yeah, making it really visual, drawing it out and using those skills as an artist too, to kind of bring that future forward.
Yep. I had a couple different plans actually. Initially I was thinking about creating a more industrial look, open piping. But I realized that the products, that that's a very cold building setting. Mm-hmm. There's not much that's very nurturing there. Mm. And bringing something that is totally new into a small rural town in Iowa, I needed the setting to be extremely comforting.
Yeah.
And so I prepared the building to be something which our grandparents would remember, you know. Mm-hmm. It has that old pharmacy look to it, mm-hmm. and it's very comforting feel, along with the aromas that you see, but it feels professional. I did not want anything that looked like it was coming from a kitchen sink. So introducing something that had a professional manner that the public could trust was very important.
That's really brilliant. I love that. Just realization of the context of where you're located and really making something that feels like both comforting and also has a clinical edge to it and an awareness. You know, I feel like that's something kind of walks the line of the school too, where there's like so much heart and spirit in what is taught at CSCH, but then there's also like this very clinical researched awareness as well. And so I could see that in your business and in your company, like there's like this nice balance of like it being comforting and like infused with soul, but then there's also like a edge of awareness of how the body works and awesome. Making things that are efficient and effective.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I came to the point where I knew that it was okay to say, I don't know. Mm. And that is a very, very important thing to be able to train yourself to do when you're working with the public, because it is so dangerous in this field to try to throw something out there if you don't know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to communicate with the public when you do have an answer, but then also when you don't. And being able to develop that trust with the community, because in this sort of community, the community that I work with is usually about three different towns. Mm-hmm. And each town has about 7,000 to 10,000 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our space that we are primarily our customers. And so if you satisfy one person, the word spreads. But it dissatisfy one person, that's close to 50 people that you satisfied, because that one word of someone that's unhappy spreads so much faster than the word of someone that is. When I was first starting the business, my father told me that you have 30 seconds to make an impression on someone. Mm-hmm. And so keeping that in mind as new people come through the door, as well as old customers, that you're always trying to be the best you can for the plants, because that's what you're there for.
Oh, I like that. That's a really good reminder. You're here to serve people and the plants, kind of balancing that and trying to do it with the most integrity possible.
And we love that the education base that we're bringing here. It's phenomenal how the people have received us, and the spread of knowledge that is going on.
Cool. So, what does that look like?
Well, looking at it from afar, or looking back, there is this intuitive nature of people from Iowa to be very connected to the earth. You know, we're made up of farmers. Mm-hmm. But farmers today are different than how they were 50 years ago. So there's been this sort of disconnect from the earth in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But it's still within us. And people that live in Iowa are still used to that space that I was hoping. That I was talking about, seeing the earth around you and being able to experience it. So utilizing it and drinking a tea or utilizing it to promote your health, it was a new concept, but it was well received because we're drawn to it already.
Right.
So, as far as how I've gotten the word around, personal experience I've found out has been most effective for sharing a story. Mm-hmm. So that story of epilepsy, how I came to herbalism. If I can connect it personally with myself, it's going to sell the plant. Mm-hmm. And make it more believable.
Yeah.
So I talk in a lot of different community groups, giving demonstrations, even just bringing some herbs and showing what a formulation looks like.
Oh, cool.
So it's a very educational base project.
That's amazing. Are you doing classes at the apothecary too?
Yeah. Yep. We have about one class a month, honestly.
Oh, great.
What I can handle at the moment.
Yeah. You're juggling so much. It's phenomenal to be doing any of that. So amazing. Are you doing consultations as well? Or is it more?
I am booked right now. So it's just the beginning of, I'm usually booked about 6 weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. So, the consultations are going great. You know,
awesome.
I try to set up my boundaries on how many I do a week because I get really burnt out with the consultations and working the apothecary.
Yeah. So, what feels good for you with that? Because I'm trying to figure out what makes sense for me too.
One consultation a week is, or one intake. Mm-hmm. A week is totally doable. Mm-hmm. But what my schedule usually looks like is two intakes a week with two or three follow-ups.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. So that is a lot.
It's usually one person a day that we're either doing an intake or a follow-up with. Mm-hmm. And then there is a lot of custom formulations going on the floor on the apothecary.
Yeah.
So,
do you have other herbalists working there?
I am the only herbalist.
Okay.
but I have two other employees.
Oh, cool.
They are in the midst of, I've provided them with herbs of the week.
Oh, nice.
We're doing some kind of in-store training. They're making their own materia medicas. So things that I picked up from school, I'm installing their employees here. So
that's great.
Each week they pick an herb and utilize it. We have weekly meetings to discuss it, and they discuss their materia medicas for the week. So,
Cool. I love that you're, I mean, that's a whole other level of education too, that you're providing to your employees. That's such a cool, I love that idea.
Well, initially when I opened the store, I had one other herbalist, and after that herbalist left us, I had a difficult time finding another herbalist being in Iowa.
Right.
But we had a ton of applications from the public. And so I just felt this need to, again, educate the public and nourish who I'm living with rather than trying to get someone from the outside to move here.
Right.
So that's where the educational base came in. So we're just slowly educating. I am the only one that does formulations for the public, but the employees are very well educated on our products. So they can discuss anything and then pass on any questions that they don't feel comfortable with to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Such an incredible team you have there.
Yes, it's very great.
Yeah, what has that been like having to kind of trust and share your business with other people? Like, do you have any suggestions for how to hire someone? Like, I just can't even imagine. Like, I don't know. It seems like the next level.
The question that I have is, create yourself some flower essence formulas. That is really what that allowed me to process any of the fears that I had initially about opening, the hesitation about expanding my workload and giving these responsibilities to other people and trusting that they could take care of it. So flower essences, that's what I've depended on the whole time.
Wow. I can imagine elm and mimulus being part of that picture.
Many of those bottles.
Yeah, those are two of my homies too. And walnut too. I always love walnut for just getting through transitional times.
And since we're talking about flower essences, I will say that is one of the most sold products in the store.
Oh, really?
Fantastic. So what we do is we have a few different sets behind the counter. Uh-huh. And a customer comes in and is talking about what issues they're having. I usually, if everything is leans towards needing a flower essence, I'll recommend a flower essence. Mm-hmm. And we do, I'll ask a few questions and I'll make a flower essence there on the spot.
Oh, cool. I love that.
It's, I have found it to be one of the most powerful medicines in the shop.
Wow.
And the people have been so receptive to it, which I find to be so astonishing.
That is really surprising. I never, ever would have guessed that. I adore flower essences, and I am like forever making myself formulas and taking flower essences and trying to convince other people to take flower essences. But it's so cool and inspiring to hear that in your beautiful shop in Spirit Lake, Iowa, that is like what people are so drawn to.
We also, we utilize it a lot. So it's in all of our spritzers on the shelf.
Oh, cool.
So formulate with essential oils and flower essences and all of our aromatherapy on the shelf. So those are very well received too. And when I communicate about flower essences, I, even though they are an energetic medicine, I talk to them in a concrete manner. Mm. So I describe them in a very grounded way. Mm-hmm. So
could you give an example, like explain a flower essence?
So let's say a mother comes in and she's having trouble sleeping. And mm-hmm. so I'll ask her questions about what the sleep pattern looks like. Can she fall asleep at night? Does she wake up in the middle of the night? And let's say she says she can't fall asleep at night. So then I'll ask her, what's keeping you up? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's racing thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask a little bit more about the thoughts. Is it fear-oriented? Does it revolve around family? And let's say it's all about fears about our loved ones or mm-hmm. fears about children. Mm-hmm. So then I'll describe, I'll pull out red chestnut. Mm-hmm. And I'll utilize the words that the customer utilized. So mm-hmm. I'll make the connection and I describe the flower essence in the way that they're describing their symptoms.
Mm, that is awesome. That's so powerful to hear. 'Cause yeah, I feel like sometimes it's a tough sell and I haven't always found the best way to explain it to people in a way, because I just am like, it's energy. They're just like, oh God, you know? So I think that's so brilliant to like really meet people where they are and yeah, just be able to kind of mirror back.
Mm-hmm. And I found that that is what's most effective, you know, it works with herbs, individual herbs. It works with tea blends. It works with spritzers. And mm-hmm. finding out what is going to be the most compliant product, mm-hmm. or compliant way that this person can utilize an herb, and then finding the products or creating the product that works best for them.
Yeah, that is so cool. How have you been creating a lot of your formulas?
Yes. So all of the formulas I create myself, mm-hmm. and a lot of it has come from, so we do custom formulas at the counter. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has stemmed from customer need. So mm-hmm. repetitive custom formulas, things that we make over and over again. So I decide, okay, maybe I need to make something and put it on the floor. Mm-hmm. So that is where a lot of the formulas came from. Initially, when I started the shop, I had this idea of the sections that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted a tea section. I wanted a first aid section. I wanted a bath and body care section. I wanted a mom and baby section. Mm-hmm. So once I found out the sections that I wanted, I knew what I wanted to fill. Then the next thing was filling those spaces.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I love just understanding that approach and like really kind of having a big picture and then also just seeing what continues to come to you and that needs to be addressed. Is there something like specific and unique you feel like you've seen in Iowa? Or what is like a common issue that people come in for?
Well, I have to say that I'm pretty astonished by how much tea people drink here.
Oh, and cool.
Apt they are to switch over to loose leaf or to learn about loose leaf tea. Mm-hmm. So that was an avenue that I didn't think would explode as much as it does. Mm-hmm. The quantity of herbs that we are getting on our shipments is just astonishing that the community is utilizing so much plant-based material.
That's so cool.
Yes, it's great. We're each shipment that we get in twice a month has probably 40 to 50 pounds of plant in it.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Yes.
So people are going for it. They're drinking all the teas.
A lot of teas and utilizing the formulas. So that has been great and encouraging. In Iowa itself, I guess we utilize a lot of nettle here, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it's muggy and hot in the summertime. There's a ton of humidity. And so nettle leaf is... It talks to reasoning as why it would be compliant with this atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But I love it in all of, it's in a lot of our formulas on the floor here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love nettles. They're such a great ally. Do you know, do you have any suggestions for how to get people to be compliant drinking tea? Because I will make tea formulas for people and they're like, this is way too much tea. I'm never going to drink all of this. And I'm like, that's a 2-week supply of tea. Like, it's not like a year supply. They're like, this is going to last me 5 years. I'm like, it shouldn't. Like, so.
Well, if someone comes into the store and I talk to them about tea, mm-hmm. There's usually three types of people. There's the person that loves tea. Mm-hmm. There's the person that will maybe drink it if it's helpful. Mm-hmm. But with that person, I usually think, no, they're not going to drink it. Mm-hmm. And then, or not drink enough of it to find the medicinal effects of it. And then there's the person that point blank says they're never going to drink a tea. Mm-hmm. So usually I work with those first two. Mm-hmm. And if it's someone that is kind of in the middle, teeter-tottering, I just send them with a supply of maybe 4 cups. Mm-hmm. And cool. So we'll create a recipe for them. We'll keep it on file, and after those 4 cups, if they want to come in for a refill, we have it on file and we can increase the quantity after that. But I don't like to send product home with someone that is going to sit in a jar or sit unutilized, because I'm not helping them and it's not helping the plant either.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is really good to hear. And thank you for spelling that out, because sometimes I get stubborn and I'm like, they need to drink the tea, so I'm gonna mail it to them, and it's like, well, okay, they're not gonna drink it, so yeah. Like again, meet people where they are. I love that you're really doing that in such a beautiful, elegant way.
And talking, well, maybe they'll utilize a tincture. Mm-hmm. Describing what a tincture actually is. Mm-hmm. And usually here, I just talk about liquid drops of an herb is mm-hmm. the easiest way that you can get the description of a tincture into someone's mind within a really short period of time. Mm-hmm. So if they're interested in something like that, we formulate that. If they won't take something like that or they're alcohol sensitive, then I'll look towards the topical approach.
Mm. Cool. Do you do a lot of infused oils?
We do. Yep.
Oh,
we
cool.
do. So we have an array of infused oils that we utilize in probably 70% of the products on the floor. Mm-hmm. Plus we have them in bulk if people want to come in and purchase them in bulk.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. I remember I made a skullcap infused oil once, just like for fun. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm just going to try it. And it's amazing. It feels so good and just like relaxing and uh-huh. meditative. And so
is it sedating for you?
I don't think it's sedating, but maybe it is. I don't know. I just find it more relaxing and calming. I don't feel like knocked out by it. I just feel like chill. Mm-hmm. Cool. What are some of your favorite oils to infuse?
Mm-hmm. We infuse a lot of comfrey root.
Mm, that's a good one.
I love comfrey, but I don't feel comfortable utilizing their roots in tea form. Mm-hmm. Unless it is with a client here in the clinic aspect, which I can monitor and check in with. Mm-hmm. The customer coming into the apothecary, I don't know how much they're drinking, and I don't know who's drinking it in their home. So our approach in the apothecary is a very gentle approach.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
We utilize Comfrey Topical. Mm-hmm. If someone, of course, is coming in for a custom formula with specific issues, we can utilize the leaf at mm-hmm. that. I love that. I love Arnica. We work with a lot of muscle tension, a lot mm-hmm. of pain. And if you can identify and work with someone's pain, mm-hmm. you can transform their views of herbalism like that. Mm-hmm. It's so quick if you can manage someone's pain.
Mm. Yeah. What is one of your favorite ways to do that?
Well, a lot of the ways, it depends on if it's systematic pain or if it's just in a specific location. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple different formulas on the floor, and I'll discuss the two formulas. One of them is topical, one of them is internal. Mm-hmm. And usually when someone is new into the store, I don't recommend more than one thing. I like to know that what we're giving them is effective. And I like to know which one is effective. So if they leave with a handful of things to try to manage their pain and they come back saying it worked great, I don't really know what worked.
That's a cool idea. I like that simple approach. And like, rather than trying to like get people to buy a bunch of stuff, like try one thing at a time and really
try one
let
thing
that build.
And I think it provides a trust with the community too, that I'm not here just to upsell them a bunch of products, but we're here to actually improve their well-being and improve the state of their health. Mm-hmm. So for chronic pain, we have one tea formula that is essentially a systematic anti-inflammatory. So this is our cooling cleanse that is formulated with things like arthritis or joint pain in mind. That does not have any of the herbs that you usually consider anodynes. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have like California poppy, anything like that that's actually going to focus on the pain aspect. I don't like to have those herbs on the floor because of the sedating quality and whether they're going to be drinking it in the day and then get into a car afterwards.
Oh, right.
So the safety aspect is always a forethought and the sensitivity of the public. Mm-hmm. The other product is a topical product. And we have two different formulas that are both pain relieving and anti-inflammatory. One of them is focused more on reparative qualities. So let's say you had a surgery on your shoulder, or bruising from a sports injury, even a workout strain. So that formula is going to help repair muscles and ligaments. And that has a combination of California poppy with comfrey, along with some other items. Cool. The other formula is specifically for muscle tension. And that is more just a pain relief and anti-inflammatory. And that has Arnica infused as its base and a couple others that I... Maybe Meadow Sweet as an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And can people, I love your website and love your Instagram presence too. Can people buy your products online?
Certainly can, yes. So we have a website. It's www.meganandco.com. Very simple. We also have a presence on both Facebook and Instagram. Our Instagram is megan.and.coapothecary. Mm-hmm. So that's our Instagram. And then Facebook is just Megan and Co.
Amazing. So cool. And do you do consultations from afar, or are you really focused on people in your community?
I do long distance consultations. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Amazing.
Our consultations here, they range from about an hour and a half for the intakes. Mm-hmm. The price for a consultation is $125. Mm-hmm. And then I'll schedule a follow-up a couple days later, which will include the protocol. That's so if it's great. Long distance, it will be Skype or FaceTime, and then I'll ship out the protocol and we'll schedule a time to meet face-to-face via Skype and talk about the protocol when it's in the client's hands.
That's amazing. Such a generous offering. I love that. Well, Megan, thank you so much for your time today. It's like such a treat to just catch up with you and to hear all that you're up to. Is there anything else coming through you want to share? Any favorite resources or books or anything else you want to make sure to shout out about?
You know, I just want to say how honored I am to have found this path and to spread it out within the small town communities, but also reaching other people afar. You know, herbalism is such a powerful way to connect both with your own health, with the earth, and with our past. So I feel so thankful that I was able to discover this path within myself and spread it to others.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. It's so beautiful. And I think it is really good just to remember that it is an honor to be able to serve the plants and to serve other people as well.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me, Sarah.
Yeah, my pleasure. Such a treat and a delight. And I'm so excited to see how your business continues to thrive and expand and grow. And I feel like you are on such a beautiful and clear path. It's really inspiring.
Oh, well, thank you. We are very excited to be here.
I'm sure the community's thankful for you too. That's great.
Oh, they are. They certainly reached out and say so. So,
oh,
more
so
than we can say to thank them for that support.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, yeah, thank you again so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.